Right now, an interesting conundrum's developed at an Ottawa medical clinic in the East End. A number of doctors are refusing to prescribe birth controls or any type of contraception because it goes against their religious values. A letter given to a patient was posted online by the pro-life group Radical Handmaids. Now, the key question is whether their religious values should dictate over the patient's needs. And to hear both sides of the debate, pleased to be joined this morning by Andrew Mrosik of the Institute for Family and Marriage and Kimberly Taylor of Radical Handmaids. And I thank you both for coming in this morning. First off, let's just get your mics up. There we go.
Filled with other various white powder.
There we go. And now we have everybody set up. Now, Andrea, from your perspective, are the doctors ignoring the patient's ability to access medical care?
Absolutely not. What we have here is a case of doctors who forget about their religious or moral convictions, are actually looking at a developing body of research that says that the pill is not good for women. We have this, a number of studies suggesting it increases risk of cancer, for example, before your first full-term pregnancy. We have lawsuits in this country against Yasmin, for example, Bayer produces that pill. There's a class action lawsuit. Women are dying on these pills. That's not something, that's not a small side effect there. So my argument today is the doctor's religious convictions aside, the birth control pill is not good for women, and that is information that women are not hearing, and that's my main concern.
Kimberly, are women hearing this?
It depends on who you ask. I know my doctor was the one that said specifically, until Health Canada itself said that there was issues, that it's something that as much as the information is out there, people do have to take it with a grain of salt. And I think that's a very important point, too, is to have independent scientists, as referenced in other cases, too, as far as other medication goes as well, with other side effects and other issues, that it does take a certain amount of research and a body of work to actually prove something is unsafe. And a lot of these pills have been operating safely for the longest time. And there's also a level of personal interaction with medication too that matters. So sometimes it's not the right medication for one person, but it is right for someone else. So you should be in conversation with your doctor regarding this medication, and you should be able to trust that your doctor is able to speak with you regarding the medication that you're taking, regardless if it's the pill or any other medication. So the concern with these doctors is that may not necessarily be the case. And there's also the issue of refusing to refer. So regardless of the religious perspective, it's also the refusal to refer that's also an issue.
Are they? Did they say that they were refusing to refer?
It's a little bit foggy as to the language, if they mean just for vasectomies. But there's also some indications of refusing to refer for birth control. And they did put an emphasis on natural family planning. So the issue, too, is if someone goes to seek medical care from these doctors and they say, well, can you refer me? Will they actually be referred? And will they be referred to someone who will appropriately deal with them?
I think there's a good point that you're raising there about the personal interaction with doctors. And the fact of the matter is that these doctors are going against the grain. I will be the first to admit that. We have hundreds and hundreds of doctors in Ottawa. I see one who prescribes the birth control pill. I don't go to these doctors. But the fact is there's so few of them. And they are the ones who are going to have to spend hours in conversation with their patients to talk about why they don't prescribe the birth control pill. They have a letter that is right there when you walk in the front door. Any patient can see that. The irony here is it takes one 30-second moment for a doctor to prescribe the pill. Women go to doctors and they have issues that need to be addressed. And the birth control pill right now is so readily chosen. It conceals any of the underlying problems that some women have. And in trying to address these underlying problems, the birth control pill may or may not do that. This is an exceptionally unpopular stand. I'm confident these doctors lose money. They are paying for it dearly, this positioning. And the facts still stand that we have literature going back into the 60s suggesting that the birth control pill is not good for women. And here I'm not referring to any religious authorities. I'm talking about women like Barbara Seaman, who wrote a book. She was a feminist. She wrote a book, The Doctor's Case Against the Pill. She wrote another book called The Greatest Experiment Ever Performed on Women. And these things, I would love it for your listeners listeners to pick that up. It's obviously a hot topic, but it's important to get the full information.
Okay, now the original question was, should their religious values have anything to do with this?
Absolutely. You know what? We can't check our conscience and at the door. And I don't even think that Kimberly would want that, because she wants to be able to exercise her conscience as well. And so if they do have the religious convictions coming into play here, which I am suggesting strongly today is not the case, that this is a medical decision these doctors are making. But if it is indeed a conscience issue for them, then God help us when, pardon the pun, God help us when we come to a world where people cannot practice medicine according to their conscience and their convictions, because that is, in a sense, asking a person to split themselves in two, and we would have, I don't know what it would mean. I mean, the pill today is exceptionally political. This is actually not a medical issue we're discussing here today.
Is this a conscience issue with you, Kimberly?
Not really. I believe people, regardless of the medication, should be able to access medication that's appropriate for them. I don't see it as a political issue, especially because there has been a lot of work to focus on women accessing health care that is appropriate for them. And as far as concerns over the health with the pill itself, I mean, again, that comes into officials from Health Canada, it comes into conversations with your doctor, and if you can trust your doctor to have that appropriate conversation with you. And if people, for their own personal reasons, their own religious reasons, have issues with the pill, I think another conversation we need to have with this is how many doctors are actually doing this. And what the story has brought out is that there's, frankly, a lot of women that have a lot of issues with doctors when they go in and ask for the pill. Now, sometimes it's refusing for religious reasons. Other times, and it happened to me too, I was given a moral lecture about when I should have children, when I should be married, just to access the pill. And my reasons for accessing the pill has to do more with acne than it has to do with actual birth control.
A doctor said that to you?
Yes, and other women have had these stories happen regularly. So when you talk about a doctor being upfront with these religious issues, well, yes, that's good. But the amount of times women, because we posted that photo, have brought these stories out, we need to have a conversation with accessing medical care. And there is a doctor shortage. Not a lot of people have GPs. Are we able to have appropriate health care for women, especially when a lot of doctors are actually lecturing women and it comes to morals, not just religious?
So, well, there's always two sides to a story. That's why you have us both here. But there certainly are plenty of women who go to doctors seeking care, and instead they get a pills prescription, and that doesn't actually get to the underlying problems that they're facing. And in turn, there's a growing, and I'm talking about people who are not religious folks, but more on the hippie side of living, or wanting to live naturally, or weary, just tired of the side effects of the pill. And again, the idea of there being class action lawsuits. But I would like to return. I wonder if the Radical Handmaids talked to these doctors before posting this, because I have my feeling is that they would be more than happy to discuss the exact reasons why they don't prescribe the pill. And I am so sorry that she's had really bad experiences with moralistic doctors. That is not something I stand in defense of, period. Mm-hmm. Full stop. But the reality is, you have three people here whose reputations have been sullied, and I think they would be the first ones to speak and talk to people. Like, there should be an ability to talk openly on these things.
I won't say that their offices, like, we're sullying their reputations. I'm asking a question. I'm not saying if they're right or wrong.
Oh, no, not
now,
much.
We did call their
you.
Office. They refused to return our calls. We did want to get them
I'm not
on.
Surprised, because medical doctors often just want to treat patients and not talk on
political issues. But it doesn't sound like they wanted to treat patients there.
They do, absolutely. They are treating patients. That's what they do. My point is, and it still stands, there are so many risks to the birth control pill, and we have women dying, and that's not something I hear Radical Handmaids talking about. What about the class action lawsuit?
That the Yasmin one, right?
Yeah. What about it? 23 women dead.
Well, that's been approved through Health Canada.
And that's my point is, we have women dying and Health Canada still approves it. Did you know that when they developed the birth control pill, this is back in history, women died in the trials. They carried forward on it. They were doing tests on something similar for men at the same time. And there was some small defect that resulted, like a testicular defect for the men, and they halted all the trials. If we're going to use the word misogyny, I would apply it there.
All right. Okay. I'm just going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We'll finish up this discussion. If the phone lines are open, if you want to join in as well, the number to call, 750-1310, 750-1310. Andrea Morozik from the Institute for Family and Marriage joining me, along with Kimberly Taylor of Radical Handmaids. And give us a call right now.
We'll be back with more. more Talk to the Hand in a moment. Check out Mike Flash, the roving web reporter, on the 1310news.com homepage. He's on the beat covering your chance to win sweet prizes. Enter his daily bonus code in the 1310 News Insider Club. Earn points you can use to enter contests and win great free stuff from 1310 News. Sign up today. Log on to 1310news.com and follow the links. News, sports, talk. 1310 News.
Hey, folks. Brian from Loudoun Window Door here again. Folks, did you know that industry experts suggest that new windows can significantly reduce heating and cooling costs, as well as noise levels in your home? Learn more by giving us a call or stopping by one of our three Lambden showrooms today. Highway 7 in Carlton Place, 600 Eagleson Road in Kanata, or Pretoria Avenue in the Glebe. Lambden Window & Door, the company family and friends recommend. Lambden.com.
With temperatures still flirting in the minus 30s and beyond, wind chill warnings, snowstorm after snowstorm, leaving us all wondering when it will end, winter needs a hero, and it's arrived at Tony Graham Nissan. Introducing the all-new 2014 Nissan Rogue. Handle everything Mother Nature can throw your way in the Rogue with the power and control of Nissan's intuitive all-wheel drive. Plus, the added benefit of best-in-class fuel economy. With optional third-row seating, the 2014 Rogue is truly the perfect vehicle for our four-season climate. Come in to Tony Graham Nissan today and test drive the Rogue, your winter warrior. Remember, when you think Nissan, think Tony Graham Nissan. 2185 Robertson Road, just 5 minutes west of Bayshore.
Do you hear that? Listen close. It's coming from your child. And sadly, it's the sound of your pills. Prescription medicine is the new drug, and 3/4 of our kids get it from home. Stop the abuse. Your kids need you to take back all unused medicine. Learn how and where at CanadaDrugFree.org. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free Canada.
Well, I'm off to my storage unit.
Oh, it's snowing. Don't forget to bring your shovel to clear the door. And be careful.
What are you talking about? I'm with Diamond Storage. Not one of those old places where you are. Diamond's amazing. Excellent customer service, a convenient drive-in bay, advanced security. It's bright and clean. Diamond is like no other storage company you've ever seen.
Wow. How do I get moved over to Diamond Storage?
It's easy. Right now, Diamond has an amazing offer. If you store somewhere else, Diamond will send a free truck and movers to move all of your stuff over, so you don't have to lift a thing.
Free movers and a free truck? That is easy.
Then they'll even match your current price and give you a further 10% discount for a 12-month plan. You're guaranteed to get the best price.
Stop in at any of Diamond's 7 convenient Ottawa locations. Let Diamond's 5-star customer service team show you the Diamond difference today.
A Diamond company. Ottawa owned. Ottawa proud.
Okay, class. Attendance. Lauren. Lauren? Hunter. No Hunter. Okay. Has anyone seen Mike G? All right. Megan?
Present.
Get there in a Subaru this winter, even when others can't. Experience the control of symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive and rates from 0.5% at your local Subaru dealer.
Hi, I'm Michelle with news about a one-day sale this Sunday at your favorite kitchen store, The Chef's Paradise at 1314 Bank. Nothing in the store will be full price, and some items will be as much as 50% off. We'll be demonstrating kitchen knives, nonstick cookware, and Nespresso coffee makers. All this and our annual pot sale will be going on this Sunday only at The Chef's Paradise. We open at 11 a.m. Hurry in.
Back with Talk to the Hand on 1310 News.
And welcome back to the show. The number to call, 750-1310, 750-1310. Just another reminder this morning, Foreign Affairs Minister, Ottawa West Nepean MP, John Baird, announcing the new CEO of the National Capital Commission is Dr. Mark Chris Manson. He replaces Marie LeMay, who left about a year and a half ago. So a new face going to be at the NCC. Joining me in studio this morning, Kimberly Taylor with the Radical Handmaids and Andrea Morozik of the Institute for Family and Marriage. We're talking about some Ottawa doctors refusing to prescribe birth control on their religious because of their religious values. And we've been debating that this morning and talking about conscience. And is this an ethical issue, Andrea?
Well, I've been making the point, and I will make it again, that I don't believe they are not prescribing it because of religious values, first and foremost. I believe they're not prescribing it because it's not good for women. And that has been a bugbear for me to talk about that with women. I find more and more receptivity amongst women because of the bad side effects, the fact that they have to take a pill every single day. None of these things are... The point, I think these doctors, if I could talk to them, I would like to ask them, do they feel that the pill is commensurate with the symptoms, for example, and where there are other options available? For example, you've mentioned natural family planning or the Creighton method or different methods of doing birth control that are just as effective and have a lot less devastating effect. No risk of death, for example, on those methods. So we don't get that information. It is difficult for women to get that information from doctors, because doctors go to school and they learn a lot from big pharma, and there's a lot of money to be made off the birth control pill, and it gets pushed out there as a result. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, although I'm at risk of sounding like one right now, but pharmaceutical companies are not required to disclose the negative trials that they do. And as a result, I think that with half the population conceivably on this pill from teen years through to whenever menopause occurs, that is a huge profit share. And in this case, I believe that feminists are wrongly partnering with Big Pharma and not helping women to get the medical care that they need.
All right. Now, the Ontario College of Physicians and Surgeons and the CMA seem to have, I guess the best description is gray areas on this issue. There's nothing definite. And do you think, Kimberly, that's part of the problem? You know, in terms, if you're going into medicine, in this province, paid for by all taxpayers, regardless of religious affiliation, that, you know, you might have to be parking some of your beliefs at the door if you're going to be prescribing and practicing in this province.
I think it is a gray area because we haven't actually sorted out that conversation. I think a lot of people were naive about accessing healthcare until we posted the letter, and that's part of why we were asked to by that individual to do so, in part because a lot of women aren't familiar with the fact that they can actually be rejected for something that they would assume they would have access to. And as far as Andrea's point regarding her issues with the birth control pill and Big Pharma, I mean, you would hope that medical professionals and scientists would be able to present this information appropriately, and we should be able to work with our doctors and access that information. The pill is not just prescribed and forced on women. I mean, most
they said
women,
all birth control that they would not prescribe.
Yeah,
you know, and in terms of other methods, it's, you know, when you're talking about Big Pharma doesn't play a part.
Well, this is one area of intersection. If Kimberly's saying she wants information to be out there, I can speak to the fact that it's not. For the most part, it is not in the interests of when you look at other methods of birth control that don't have a profit margin associated with them, there's really not a whole lot for Big Pharma to do there. And as a result, we don't hear about them as often. But I do continue to say that if there's communication, then the Radical Handmaids could have gone, talked to these doctors, had a conversation, discussed it. And that would be still an appropriate course of action instead of assuming the worst and putting out something on a web page that gets picked up, and I think it sullies reputations. And I don't know all of these doctors. I believe that we ought to be giving them some benefit of the doubt on why they do this. And I've given reams and reams of evidence and could give more on the negative side effects of the birth control pill. So if you're going into a doctor's office and this is something they believe and have lots of evidence for it, that it causes problems instead of solving them, I don't know why you would ask them to prescribe it.
Kimberly.
I think it's a lot of fear-mongering. Part of what we did when we posted it had more to do with conversation with women. And the doctors, while having that letter, part of it was to get the information out there to the people that were seeing them of what they did and did not do. So, I mean, this is a letter that is given out. For the most part, a lot of these conversations are just verbal. There's no indication women have how common this is, but this is an official letter given out by the doctors
to their patients. To their credit, the doctors give a letter ahead of time and say, this is what we believe, this is what we do. And it is there posted publicly. And furthermore, the College of Physicians and Surgeons has known for years. So I don't understand what the problem is when we have hundreds and hundreds of doctors across the province of Ontario. We have three who have chosen not to prescribe the pill. And that's the dynamic we're looking at here.
Well, no, we don't know if it's three. We don't know if it's three. We know of three. But we don't know it's just three.
I still am not hearing much response to the really, really severe negative ramifications, including death, and why on earth we would ask doctors to prescribe something that has that kind of risk and furthermore has a lawsuit in process right now associated with it and hundreds more in the United States. So
can I address that?
Sure.
Please. A personal family member of mine had hep C. She went through a drug trial. And she cleared, except someone died during that drug trial. The fact of the matter is a lot of medication has harmful side effects. And sometimes it does cause people to die. This isn't unique to the birth control pill. What should always be done appropriately is make sure that it is being prescribed to women. And there's a lot of different types of birth control pills that suits their individual needs. And as long as we have an independent body, like Health Canada, independent, but at least a body of scientists, doctors, and go through a proper process and approve drugs properly, I don't see why suddenly it's focusing on just the birth control pill. I think we need to examine why we focus so much on that and politicize it, moralize it, and I would say go to conspiracy theory levels of paranoia and fear when we can't have an appropriate conversation regarding birth control pill when it gets to that point. And it's not just these three doctors. What we've noticed when we posted that letter was that there were other women in Ottawa. I encountered an experience of my own that I said earlier from a different doctor. Other women from other doctors in the area and across the country have stories of their own. So it's not just this doctor. And again, the issue of access to healthcare. I mean, when we have this level of doctors with all these women encountering these doctors in a widespread area, we get the issue of you can't just go to another doctor. There's a doctor shortage of GPs and then accessing walk-in clinics too. It takes time. It takes the ability to go to these locations, there's access issues. It's not just a simple thing to go somewhere else. A lot of women just can't simply go somewhere else. And that's just sometimes in urban areas, but then you talk about rural areas. Yeah. It's not a simple thing.
Yeah, there's a real shortage in rural areas. Jump in. You were going to say something, Andrea.
Well, yeah, I was definitely going to speak to the a Mayo Clinic study suggesting 44% increased risk of breast cancer before your first full-term pregnancy is not paranoia. And certainly, I think that due to the lack of information out there from the vast majority of doctors who are unwilling and unable to take the time, and maybe it's more unable, we do have a healthcare problem, an access problem. And doctors are all struggling to fit in patients and find the time. But as a result, these conversations are not being had. And it takes a lot more to explain why you wouldn't prescribe the birth control pill than it does to write up the script. I do believe that the birth control pill is falling into the political arena these days, and that is not the fault of these doctors. In fact, those who are not prescribing it are probably treating it more purely as a medical issue than those who are. But I don't think that when you have studies from mainstream sources like the Mayo Clinic, that you can castigate me as falling into the realm of a paranoid person. It really is very, very difficult to find information about women's cycles, the intricacy, the details of how it works, what can be done to help. All these things we are shortchanged as women in the doctor's office. And that has actually very little to do with the current situation that brings us into the studio today.
I don't know about that. You know, the reason we came in was to see if their religious values were to trump, you know, the ability of a patient to get treatment, and whether you agree with that treatment or not.
I think that freedom of conscience ought to trump any other That I don't think we want to live, I've said before, in a world where doctors of any political stripe or any religious conviction are checking their morals at the door, because that is an extraordinarily dangerous situation. It is one where you are allowing political environment or leaders to dictate what it is that you do. You can say that they might have religious masters who are telling them what they should or should not believe. Is it any better to have political masters? Health Canada is not going to be, I don't want to have them telling me what I should or shouldn't do or prescribe if I'm a doctor. I don't think that checking your conscience at the door is an effective way of doing medicine. And I don't think anybody, radical handmaids or otherwise, should disagree with that, because it would preclude them doing their own conscience, acting on their own conscience as well.
All right, let's talk about conscience for a second here. We are going to have to wrap it up fairly soon. But okay, we talked about the religious values, but what if it goes against their political values? Is that even fair?
Well, people need to be able to dissent. And that's something, freedom of speech and freedom of conscience and freedom of religion are, I would put them almost on a sacred level. We don't want to mess with those things, because then we live in something approaching a totalitarian environment where people are told what they should think. And that is not an effective way to practice medicine. And it is not an effective way to practice much of anything. Kimberly is in this studio, as am I, on our conscience. We bring our own research forward. We bring our own, everybody has specialists they like to cite, et cetera. We have to be able to do that, and we have to be able to do it freely. Otherwise, Canada is not a kind of place where we want to be raising our kids.
All right, jump in for the end, Kimberly.
I think this is bringing up an issue of, we need freedom from religion sometimes. It's not just freedom of religion, but freedom from religion. And I think this is a very good discussion we need to have in regards to healthcare, because how can you access healthcare if you don't have freedom from religion? And this is a discussion. It's not necessarily that we're going to eliminate voices. What we're advocating for is a discussion based on this issue that's been brought up. And I mean, someone's conscience and religion should not prevent someone from accessing appropriate healthcare. And I think that's where we're coming into the issue, is, does this actually prevent people from accessing appropriate healthcare for their individual needs?
All right. I want to thank you both for coming in. A great discussion, a great issue. I tell you, when I saw that in the paper, I said, we have to get some folks in to talk about this one. And Andrea Morozik is with the Institute for Family and a Marriage. Kimberly Taylor with Radical Handmaids. And I thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
For spending your half hour with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.